Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 178 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. You're joined by me, Al, and my good friend Anton. Hello, Anton.
And our good friend, Mike.
No, we've got no Mike today. It's a bit embarrassing.
He's my favourite.
Mike currently has a... I know, mine too, to be fair. He's by far the best of the three presenters in this show, but you know what? He's got a terrible bout of uncontrollable and highly embarrassing flatulence, which... let's face it, would not translate well to an audio format. So he decided to keep his distance, keep that to a whole separate space where there's not a microphone, and we're just not going to talk any more of it. Hopefully he will be with us next week. Maybe? Possibly? He hopes.
Yeah, he did FaceTime us before the show, but sadly, he seems to be literally bouncing off the ceiling. It's like a helium balloon over there, so it's a little bit unfortunate. But what is fortunate is... we've got another episode of the podcast filled with news and, of course, Nintendo Switch themed. Have you been playing any Nintendo Switch this week?
I have, actually. I've been playing quite a bit of gaming. I have genuinely played quite a bit of Switch, but I've basically been carrying on what I think we talked about in our last episode, which is playing Lego Jurassic Park with Sun. Sun has been thoroughly enjoying playing that one, so we're working our way through Jurassic World, so we did quite a bit of that. But I've also played a couple of other games which are... technically on the Switch. I've just not been playing them on the Switch. I played them on the Xbox. I played You Suck at Parking, which is really good fun to begin with. In the solo play, the difficulty ramps up really quickly and I very quickly lost interest. I went, I can't be bothered spending my day doing this. And I moved over to playing Procession to Calvary, which I really enjoyed and I want to go and play some more of that. So that is mostly what I've been doing, that and a bit of Rock Band Beatles. Have you played either of those
games? No, distinctly remember Procession to the Calvary. Could you elaborate on more about what
it's Procession to Calvary is basically like the animation from Monty Python using all this kind of classical art,
yes,
and turning it into basically like a Monty Python game that isn't Monty Python. Point and click. It's so rude, crude, funny and enjoyable, and I can't wait to play a bit more of that. I played for about an hour earlier on today and thought, I like this game, I want to spend more time with it.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I distinctly remember that one. Well, as per usual, I chip away at Rogue Legacy. I was rank 150 last week. I have actually been able to make some progress. I'm now rank 200. But I was like, I should play a Nintendo Switch game. So I played a level of Super Mario 3D World. Pro gamer over here.
How did you just play a level of it?
Yeah, I played a level and I was like, oh, I'm good. I was like, originally going to pick it up and I was like, oh, I'll replay this. And then I played a level and I was like, not enough time's passed. It's still all kind of in memory. I thought I would have forgotten it by now, so I think I'm going to skip over to the Bowser's Fury half of that shortly enough. But yeah, great game. Plays great. The controls are lovely. Tight, refined. I think the 3D World, 3D Land are my favourite of that one of the my favorite of the sub franchise, where it's 3D combines the kind of mobility of the 2D games. I really like those ones, so hopefully we get another one and it's not just 3D World, but that could be what we get. There's so many other Nintendo IPs that are, I think, slightly more important. Speaking,
I've got a lot of friends that really really like 3D World. I played it. I don't think I finished it. I got really far. I almost got to the end, but I don't think I ever completed it on the Wii U. And I don't know. It was all in my mind. It was always okay. It was never my favorite. I don't know why. It just didn't gel with me in the same way that it did with other people. I'm not against it. It was fine. But I have a lot more love for something like my brain has got Odyssey. I love Odyssey. Odyssey is amazing. And that one, it was just, I guess, a bit more true 3D open-ish than 3D World was. I don't know. It's okay. It was good. I can't complain.
Indeed, I'm quite excited to give the Bowser's Fury mode a proper dive in, because it really seems like a middle ground of the more conservative approach that they took with 3D World with the more ambitious stuff that they did with Odyssey and Galaxy and stuff. I'm excited to sink my teeth into it. It seems like a full meaty bit of game right there.
Well, let us know how you get on with it when you do eventually get around to playing that one. Should we move straight and swiftly on to talking about some news and upcoming games?
Let's do it.
Tell us. The people want to know.
Our first one is a biggie. I mean, I'm sure you've all been paying a lot of attention to this. It's been all over the news. You can't have missed it. The Kids Room has announced Clockmaker My Clock Ver dot, which I'm assuming is version, digital, brackets, with timer, close brackets. I mean, the gaming world has been rocked by this. This is the one we have been waiting for. We've already got AAA clock on the Switch, but that is nothing in comparison to this one. This is taking it to a whole other level, Anton.
Indeed, you know, I was, you know, at first apprehensive. I had my premium $9.99 AAA clock, and I was very happy. Very happy. It had so many features like time. And now we've got this one with time and timer. And that's really taken up. That's like 50% more features. And then they're selling it for 1/10 the price. This is truly a shake-up for the ages, and I hope AAA Clock is really putting their head to the grindstone on working on Clock 2, because truly, times are a-changing.
I know. I mean, AAA Clock 2 Rewind is going to be something special. It really is. But, I mean, to give this one its due, as much as we're making fun of it, it's actually quite a sweet premise. It's obviously, it's a sole developer has made this little, I'm not going to call it a game, an app for your Switch, and you it lets you draw your clocks. So it's a digital clock, but you can draw the symbols, so you can do whatever symbols you want. You can make up your own crazy, weird, wacky time. And I just love the blurb that's up on the eShop for it. So it says, I recommend this app to fathers who are working alone, oh, painters, brackets, including self-proclaimed painters, and people who want to use their Nintendo Switch as a clock, etc. It's just, there are just some lovely, lovely little bits. Just whoever's put this together, it just seems really, really sweet. And I kind of want people to go and buy this for £1 because it's adorable.
Absolutely. As you say, despite making fun of it, it is definitely leaps and bounds beyond AAA Clock. And when I saw this, I was like, you know what this would be brilliant for? Those Alexas or Google Homes or portals. You know, those picture frames that you have in your living room, because it is quite a novel mechanic that they have for stitching these together and drawing all of your individual characters and then putting some kind of background graphics. It is very cute. It has very much, you know, this is a drawing that you get your kids done and stuck on the fridge vibes to it.
It does. Oh, and just before we're going to move off this one, I just want to read two more lines from the eShop. Under features, it says, it comes with a timer. It can be an accompaniment to cup noodles, which is just genius. And then my final quote is, it will be a little warm and fuzzy when your lover or child draws it for you. I think that says everything you need to know about this app.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Let's talk about Sunset Visitor, who have announced 1000X Resist, or 1000 by Resist, 1000 however you want it. It is an X. It's a big old X. And that's how it is in the graphic for the Nintendo Switch. It's published by Fellow Traveller, and it's described as a mysterious sci-fi adventure that I have to say does look really mysterious and gorgeous, and I have no idea what's going on from the trailer because it looks so confusing.
I think you're right on the money there. You know, there is a lot of games that will tout mystery as, you know, a selling point of it. However, this one, just within of the trailer alone, just has so many just intriguing little nuggets of, wait, what? And then you think you understand what's going on, and it's like, oh, and it does a twist. But outside of that, it looks to be third-person adventure with slightly anime-esque characters, and I have no idea what this one's about. It looks quite captivating.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. There's time travel. I mean, it says in all the blurb, you're exploring a whole story, thousands of years worth of a story, through different views of time, forwards, backwards. You've got decisions to make with the multiple endings, all that kind of good stuff. It's been it's been inspired by a whole load of really big, you know, brands out there. It's got Nier Automata, it's Perfect Blue, Silent Voice. There's a whole ton of things that have been their influences, and it's this Canadian team. I think it's their first game that they've made, as far as I'm aware. And it just looked like they knocked this out of the park. It's properly, I mean, we use the word intriguing, or at least I use the word intriguing on here a lot, but this one is genuinely intriguing. It's not like anything I've really seen before. I wouldn't mind giving it a bit more attention to find out what this is actually all about.
Indeed, you know, I think they've definitely sold me on the premise, even if I couldn't even describe the premise of it. The one thing I'm hoping for is that we get to see some gameplay, because everything they've laid down fundamentally right now looks like solid ground, and I just want to see what they build on top of it moving forward.
Yeah, we need to wait a bit though, because it's coming out the middle of next year. That's middle of 2023, depending when you listen to this podcast. Okay, let's talk about Penco Park, which looks spooky but cute. It's been announced by Ghost Butter, not Ghostbusters, just, you know, Ghost Butter, and it's basically Pokemon Snap that's a bit spooky. Is that how you describe it?
I think you're right on the money there. It's very much the same on rails. You've got a simple camera and you're kind of taking photos of these wonderful and bizarre, odd kind of people, shall we say, creatures even. But what I quite like about this is, whereas Pokemon Snap was very much, you know, it had the vibe of a safari and, you know, just seeing who you can catch, this one has got its own unique world to work in of. And what I like about that is, you know, you don't quite know what you're going to be expecting, which admittedly, that's something that, you know, Pokemon Snap couldn't work around. Of course, everybody knows and loves Pokemon. But I think this actually works quite nicely of, you don't know what you're in for. You know, who knows what you'll be seeing? Who knows what that'll tell you about the world and the situation you're in? It's quite gorgeous even. It's kind of got slightly, you know, cardboard flat characters, but with a little bit of shadows, and it's quite gritty. I like it. It's very charming.
Charming is quite a good word. Although it's spooky, it's cute and it's charming. And yeah, grainy is a really good description for the visual. So if you look at it, you'll see exactly what we mean. But it's just adorable. It's coming to us courtesy of Secret Mode, I think, of the publisher. It's coming out the 27th of September. So by the time you hear this, it may well be out, depending how slow you are listening to podcasts and depending how quickly Anton turns this around. I imagine it might well go out tonight, but I don't know. Worth a look. It looks pretty good fun. Next up, let's talk about the Atari 50th Anniversary Celebration Collection game thing that's coming out, because if you pre-order the physical version, at least in America, you're getting Gravatar Recharged for free. Is it the same in Europe?
I believe if you have to go to Game or Amazon, at least those are the two that I saw mentioned. But yeah, it's, to be honest, a decent value. The game looks to be retailing at least within of the UK for around about £32, give or take. And yeah, Gravatar is like a £7 game. It is certainly one of the kind of lower tier of the Recharge series of Atari remakes. But, you know, it's basically just a simple classic indie game, and, you know, it's better than not getting anything for pre-ordering it. So it's nice to see pre-orders incentivized. It's been a while.
It is. It is indeed. Let's talk about a game that we saw a fair bit of at the Nintendo Direct that kind of came out of nowhere, and that was Octopath Traveler 2. I have to say, when they announced that there, I almost expected it to be pretty much finished at that point, and we now had kind of confirmation of that. We've heard from Square Enix that Octopath Traveler 2 is now 90% through development. I have no idea how long that means that we've got to wait till it's actually released. Did they give us a release date during the Direct?
I believe they did, but I don't have it correctly to mind. But I do find this kind of a surprising but refreshing revelation, as when they've shown the first Octopath Traveler and Project Triangle Strategy, those were very much games that they showed very, very early in development and then kind of followed up and was like, you know, did a couple updates on before us eventually getting it. So getting Octopath Traveler 2, admittedly it's a sequel, so they kind of had the general foundation of what they're building from and what the fans expect. But seeing it so late in development, and, you know, we're going to be getting it after checking 24th of February 2023, it's nice to see. You know, it's all put together and it's just, I guess, finishing up and polishing it.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Pretty much. Talking of other games that are just needing finished and polished, well, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope has been finished off and polished because it is now being classified as gold, which means it's done. And that's great.
Indeed, which, to be honest, I had zero doubts that there would be a thick veil and shine of quality to this title. You know, it's got Nintendo, Ubisoft, I think, did extra care of the last one, and it's a single-player game. You know, Ubisoft's been doing all these big, massive, you know, games as a service-like experiences. I think having that talent focused in on just creating a quality single-player game is just going to do them a lot of good, and I presumably imagine they're working on their day one patches and DLCs from here on out.
That's a pretty good place to be. I mean, you always worry when developers are scrambling around to get games ready for a launch date. We've got a whole month. It's not coming out to 26th of October. That gives them a month to refine, do funny things with marketing, and as you say, day one patches and all that kind of stuff. So I think this is off to a pretty good start. And it's not often you actually hear about games going gold. It's not something that they normally bother doing a press release for. I'm intrigued to know why they've done one for this game.
Maybe just keeping it in the news cycle, or maybe it's also possible that whenever games are going gold, it's literally like at the last minute, and this one's done a little bit early, so they're like, eh, let's, you know, throw it out while the press is quiet.
Yeah, massive celebration, give them all a big pat in the back, sure. Okay, let's move on to something that's less video game and more video game related, and that is Illumination's upcoming Super Mario Brothers film, which I know we all have mixed feelings about, but I'm probably the most excited about it from our little group of podcasters. We've now got a release date. It's coming out the 7th of April, and we're getting a teaser trailer on the 6th of October, which is quite exciting because I have very high hopes for this, and I hope they're not dashed.
Indeed. Whether or not it's good or bad, I think it's going to be an entertaining show. You know, I think Illumination, you know, even if the movie as a whole crumbles apart, it will be very, very full of gags and it won't be boring. And you know what? That's going to make for interesting content, whether that's going to be memes or a great film. And I'm excited to see that, you know, it's starting to materialize. It's been in development for so long. It almost kind of got into the sense of just, it's never going to happen. We've been chatting about it so long, you know, it just feels like this far off thing. But here it is, it's coming together, and I won't lie, I think my most excited thing is I'm just excited to see how all the voice talent fit into their roles. I don't know how you're feeling about that, Alistair. What are the parts you're looking forward to about seeing this film finally materialize?
I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy around all the various voice actors who are doing all the various characters, but I just think it will work. It's one of these things that maybe in the first minute it might jar and you go, whoa, that's not their voice, but after couple of minutes you're going to settle down into it and go, yeah, I accept this, I buy this, and they're all big names, they're all comic heroes. I can't really see how this movie isn't going to work, particularly given Nintendo's control on it. They've had so much input into this movie that if it's not perfect, then there's something terribly wrong. And let's face it, the masters have been involved in this. They're not going to put out something that's mediocre or rubbish. They're not going to be doing Super Mario Bros. Like in the 1990s. This is going to be a polished, awesome piece of comedy gold, in my opinion. Can't wait.
Yeah, and I think what's great about Nintendo in 2022 compared to Nintendo in the 1980s is Nintendo's a lot more experienced now at leasing out their properties. As we've seen with Mario & Rabbids Sparks of Hope, they know how to set up these deals where, you know, they make sure their characters are protected, and they've done it very, very many times now and to great success. So that is the part that gives me hope. And of course, Miyamoto is, I believe, executive producer on it. So, you know, I'm sure it's either went to his standard or he's made it absolute hell for them to make anything bad.
I can't wait. We don't have that long to wait. 7th of April to the release, and I mean, a teaser trailer on the 6th of October. Teaser's not going to give us much, but it'll give us a first sight, and we may come back to that later in the show. Let's talk about streamers in China, because they've been making the headlines, because you can make me pronounce these, but I'm going to guess it's something along the lines of Douyu, Huya, and Bilibili? Yeah, you're smiling.
Let's go
at me.
For it. Let's go for
enough.
It.
Oh, close enough. They have been streaming Splatoon 3 this week. A lot, which is surprising because it's not been released there.
Yep, you know, importing, it's making a comeback. You know, this is money that Tencent's leaving on the table by not getting this out, because at its current slate, entirely playable within of or on Chinese Nintendo Switch hardware, which, as we've all discussed, is not every single title. It is very, very much locked down. It has a full Chinese simplified language set and is fully translated, fully playable. And yeah, the Chinese market's absolutely loving it, it would appear. And my God, apparently the statistic I heard, it was like something like 70% of stream donations for like a week were to people playing Splatoon 3. So it's a big heavy hit. I would love to see if it can make up a bit of an esports community even.
It does seem to have made quite the arrival, doesn't it? It's kind of cool. It seems to have a lot more traction than the previous Splatoon games did. But whether it sticks or whether it quickly wanes and falls away again remains to be seen. That is the question. Let's talk about one of your favourite developers, Yacht Club Games, because you're a big fan, aren't you?
Indeed. I think Cyber Shadow and Shovel Knight are absolute classics. And if you haven't played them yet, do yourself a favour.
Wow, they're making an interesting transition. Their next game, they said, is going to be 3D, and that the engine is brand new. It's been made from scratch by their team, and they've been developing it in secret for the last 5 or 6 years, and they're planning on using it. That must be quite an exciting proposition for you.
Indeed. You know, there is a degree of puzzlement. You know, they are retro to the core. But I must say, the fact that they're not just going ahead and making a 3D game, but the fact that they're going to the extent of making their own engine, that is no easy feat, considering the fact so many of even the huge developers opt for using pre-established engines. Makes me think that they're having, you know, full stack control. You know, they're not just making a sandwich, they're making the bread, they're making everything that goes in the sandwich. And that gives me confidence that, you know, they are very focused in what they're hoping to create. I think the main, you know, question mark for me is, are they going to try and push Shovel Knight to 3D? You know, it is their flagship, and they've done a lot of expansions and, you know, new games to Shovel Knight, or will they keep Shovel Knight a 2D franchise? That's what I'm interested to see.
There is an awful lot of opportunity there, isn't there? And it is fascinating, because there must be a reason why they've taken the route of developing their own engine. It must be a specialised engine, because there's a lot of generalised engines out there, and they are very, very good. There's a reason most of the industry uses generalised engines. So I'm massively fascinated to see what it is that's made them go down the route of developing their own engine at huge time and expense, and that's for therefore cost. They need this engine to do something that you can't do with a general one out there.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
My working theory would be is, in the same way that Shovel Knight is bespoke, I could see them maybe attempting something N64 era. So selling the wheelhouse of retro, but doing it like authentically N64. So it isn't just, you know, a Unity game with kind of lighting that looks weird. Because that's the thing is you... We see a lot of these games that are very much polygonal, but built in Unity. And, you know, the lighting's not done the same because back in the N64, you had to bake in your lighting. So there's things like that that, you know, you have to work very hard to replicate when you're doing like an N64/PS1S title. And I could see that being the direction they may be going, looking at their track record.
Well, we will have to sit tight, because we're not going to find out anytime soon. They're going to keep that one to themselves until they are ready to tell us. That brings us really to the end of our news section this week. It's fairly brief because we got so many announcements last week. I don't think the industry had much to give this week, so let's move on to Turbo Mode instead.
Yes.
I will, as usual, fly through the list, and then let you comment on whatever you feel like elaborating on afterwards, Anton. So, Horai has announced Pikachu and Mimikyu limited editions of their split pad fit. The next Nintendo Switch online game trial is going to be Jackbox Party 3. That's starting on the 28th of September, and that is awesome. Proteus on the Nintendo Switch will be delayed a bit in order to squash a gnarly visual bug. Ed Sheeran, weirdly, has announced a Pokemon collaboration song called Celestial. It'll be out on the 29th of September. Go and have a listen. Splatoon 3 players who have been exploiting the Tentamis missiles are being labelled as cheaters. I'm intrigued to see what your take is on that. Oceanhorn 2, Knights of the Lost Realm, which is basically a Zelda clone, and not a bad one really, is getting a physical release, courtesy of Limited Run Games, coming out on the 27th of September for $40, or $39.99 if you want to be really pedantic. YouTuber, Video Game Donkey, has announced that they're launching their own indie game publishing company called Big Mode. Dragon Quest Treasures is getting a new gameplay overview trailer, and Nier Automata, The End of Yora Edition, also has a new trailer. At Fire Emblem JP, that's their Twitter, by the way, for anyone who, like me, doesn't have a clue what Twitter is or how it works, they have been sharing tons of microclips of the Fire Emblem Engage game. And on the same token, Fire Emblem Engage is going to be about a 15GB download, we now know. The next Wii U and 3DS update will be removing Facebook, Twitter, Google, Apple, and my Nintendo account integration. Every Picross S game is now getting multiplayer and touchscreen controls, and finally Tencent and Logitech have formally announced the G Cloud, an Android-based streaming handheld games console. Anton, what would you like to pick out from there?
Let's start with that first one. I might go off a little bit long because I'm very excited, because at this rate we're going to be covering it in the prequel, one of our Patreon shows, very shortly. Many people are comparing it to a Nintendo Switch, and I must say I think they've really dropped the ball here. You know, it is a streaming-based handheld, which the benefits of that is, you know, it could have been low-powered, it could have been small, and it could have had really good battery life. But what they produced here, and it could have also been cheap because it doesn't really need much power, but they've made something that's bulkier than a Nintendo Switch, that costs the same price as a Nintendo Switch, and can't really play any additional software. It also costs the same as a Steam Deck, so which could have done all the streaming stuff. I think they've really made a mess of that one. And the one benefit is it has 12-hour battery life for a console that you need to play on Wi-Fi, presumably where you could have charged your 8-hour battery life Switch. So that one's a bit of an odd one. I'm not very impressed there, but nevertheless, that means good stuff for the Switch. Odd move since Tencent is releasing that and kind of manufactures and kind of does the Switch in China, so that's a bit odd. The Splatoon 3 players getting marked as cheaters for exploiting the kind of Tenta missile power-up is a bit disappointing, because fundamentally that's a flaw of Nintendo. If they've not balanced the game right, I think, you know, they're not doing something crazy. Like if it was a normal fighting game, that would be a combo, the kind of button mashing people are using to just take advantage of that one. So I think it's disappointing to see Nintendo take that route rather than getting a patch out there, and I hope they get a patch out there quickly. So, you know, I think players should be in the right to use the game mechanics to the extent they are. They're not using any external exploits, they're just using the game in the state it's been given. And finally, Video Game Donkey making a Big Mode, the new kind of indie publishing company, I think it's going to be very exciting. I think the whole thing that this company is getting marketed on, and people have been quite cynical on it, because he's a comedic YouTuber, he doesn't take himself very seriously most of the time, but people have been very cynical and quite aggressive about this. But how I see it is, worst case scenario, they put out one bad video game and then people won't trust them and the company will just not work. Best case scenario is they're able to enable and help other kind of, you know, indie companies get off the ground and get their games out to a new audience. Seems like a good case all round. And yeah, how about yourself, Alistair? What's jumping out to you this week?
Well, I mean, like you, I kind of want to talk about the G Cloud, and I'm maybe not quite as skeptical as you or disappointed as you, but I do think they've overpriced it. So, I mean, what they've produced is pretty cool. I like the look of the kit they've put together. As you say, it's kind of overpowered, but it's just a cloud machine, but that's not a big problem. It's got a 1080p screen on it, it's got, you know, all the usual buttons, it's got its headphone jacks and all the good stuff. It's got haptics, gyroscope inside, it's got remappable controls. It's a pretty decent little bit of kit. And if you want to play Xbox Game Pass games, and you want to play your Steam games, and you want to play your GeForce Now games, it looks like a really good way of doing it. I actually am kind of bored with it. Oh, and it does Steam. So it basically does everything that the Steam Deck does. It's just a Steam Deck competitor. And I quite like it. If they bring it down in price, I can see it being a good purchase. I wouldn't be replacing my Switch with it, but as a companion to the Switch, I can see there having been a lot of merit there.
Yeah, I think the thing that just really holds it back is when it comes down to the hardware, it's not as good in terms of like the screen and stuff as the Switch, Switch OLED. But then it's also priced at the same price as a Steam Deck, which could then also do the Xbox Game Pass streaming and Stadia and all those sort of services. And you wouldn't need to stream your Steam games to it. So yeah, I'm very skeptical. I think what would have really made it for me is if they leveraged the fact that, you know, it didn't need to have big cooling, it didn't need to have a big battery, and made a proper handheld. Because that's where what I think the hole in the market is right now, is we don't have anything that's like a Vita or a 3DS that you can fit in your pocket. That would have been cool, but, you know, I think only time will tell. I think what could be the real turning point of it is, within all the marketing we've got over here in the West, is we're only hearing Logitech, and if not Xbox, with, I think, Microsoft really partnering up to, you know, put kind of Xbox Game Pass on the front of it. I think the big curve for this will be within the Chinese market. I think Tencent's going to market this a lot more for Android gaming and kind of having all those mobile games like Genshin Impact, you know, as a more premium way to play those titles with the Android capabilities of this device. I think maybe Logitech's spinning it kind of in a slightly different way here, which might not do as well in this market as it would do in the Chinese market, where the Switch is still growing.
It'll be a really interesting episode of the prequel in a few years' time when we look back and see why this console didn't work. And if you have no idea what the prequel is, hey, here we go, a little segue, little just, you know, nudging this one in, then you can sign up for our Patreon. Head over to nsukp.co.uk/support-us to find out all about the Patreon. And I think I'm safe in saying all three of, no, two of our three of our, Anton, which support tiers get prequel?
You get the prequel on the SNES, our mid-tier, and our top-tier N64, alongside Last Call and Roundup, and a whole bunch of other rewards which you can learn about over there.
Lovely jubbly. Actually, Anton just sent me through the latest idea for our newest mug today. I gotta say, I quite like it. I'm liking it. I'm hoping that that might become the one, but we're waiting for Mike to give us his feedback as well before we go and press any buttons and get them manufactured. So, you know, next mug club is coming for N64 tier supporters. Head on over. It's £5 for SNES, £9 for N64, and just £1 for the NES tier, which we've got a good mixture of people supporting us on all those levels in the Discord, and everybody gets to come and play and hang out with us, and it's good fun. I love our little community. Anyway, let's get back to what we're supposed to be talking about after me wedging in the Patreon. What else do I want to talk about? Horai and their split pads. So I got really confused when I first read the story, because I kept reading about Pikachu and Mimikyu, and the two images that show you are Pikachu and Gengar. I was like, what? Until I realized that Pikachu and Mimikyu are on one set of controllers, and there's another set for Gengar. They're kind of both cool, and I like them.
Yeah, they're pretty stylish. I quite like them. They, you know, it's quite nice to have these refreshing ones, kind of variations, because, you know, if you're buying some third-party Joy-Cons, why not get ones that reflect your style if you're upgrading anyway?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I tend to get quite grumpy about special editions and this, that, and the next thing, but these ones are kind of, they're actually funky. They're actually different. They're not like the rubbish ones that Nintendo keep releasing. They've got proper designs on them. And, you know, they're Horai. We like Horai pads because they are comfortable and reliable and ergonomic, and they don't seem to suffer from Joy-Con drift. They're just good.
Indeed. Highly recommend.
Nintendo. Yeah, exactly. Was there anything else in that list I really want to talk about? Probably not. I think Oceanhorn 2 coming to Switch in physical is quite nice, because I think it was an alright game. It's never going to win their best game of the year awards, but as a Zelda clone, it's a really, really pretty Zelda clone, and it is unashamedly a Zelda clone, because the main character pretty much just looks like Link. It's even dressed in Link's blue tunic. It's properly rip-off stuff.
Yeah, but exceptionally well done, and, you know, getting any more money towards the team that put it together will be nice, because the leap between Oceanhorn 1 and 2 was monumental, and I'm, you know, just so intrigued to see what that leap can be for the next one, because it was originally a mobile title, both of them, and then Oceanhorn 2 and later Oceanhorn 1 made the leap to Nintendo Switch. Now that they found, you know, a new audience on console, I'm hoping Oceanhorn 3 can be a big leap for the franchise, because I think it could be ready.
Very exciting. Very good opportunity there. I think last story in there, I probably want to very briefly touch on, I guess, is all the social stuff coming off the Wii U and the 3DS. I mean, it's not to be... it's not a surprise. It's not going to take any of us by surprise in the slightest. But it's just a little bit sad seeing all these services being stripped away from these consoles that were really good. I mean, the 3DS sold so many out there, and it was still being sold until very recently, but slowly but surely, their ecosystems are just being eroded away until they're basically going to be just sitting there as little boxes that can play a cartridge. And that's it. The most surprising bit, I guess, is the fact that actually the My Nintendo account bit itself has been pulled away. But if they're not supporting it, then it's just becomes a security hole. I understand it.
Yeah, to be honest, I think that's the entire reason behind all of this, is I think they're just patching their holes. Those ships are sinking, and they're just pulling out all the bits that are connected to the main architecture and letting it be its own little wee small kind of ecosystem, unaffected to everything else Nintendo's up to. And I imagine companies like Facebook and Google and Apple will probably have some form of authentication or kind of corporate policy they need to upkeep to ensure those links are all fine and up to standard to whatever their newest security standards are. And it's probably not worth Nintendo maintaining. But it is a shame, because even on Reddit, I still see people, and I think recently when the Netflix and YouTube apps got shut down, and people were like, oh, I really loved using Netflix and YouTube on the Wii U because I could, you know, have it up on the big screen, and then I could be looking at what the next piece of content is on the tablet. I don't know who was watching Netflix on the 3DS, but I'm sure they have their reasons too.
Yeah, that's it. Modern Auth just will not be working with those old platforms, so I guess it's time for it to go. So I guess on that slightly sad note, we should probably move over to the hopefully more optimistic section of rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
we really are romping through this episode. It just goes to show that it's been a very slow news week. We've only been recording for 35 minutes and we're at rumours already. I think this might be a new record for us. We'll see how long we can tease this out, Anton. How long can we talk about the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rumours? I mean, that's actually got to be the first in a while as well, because we've had a dearth of rumours, so it's quite nice to have a splurge of rumours. I'm sure that's the opposite of a dearth. First up, Splatoon 3 Amiibos have received Child's Product Certificate, meaning that they are due for release in the next 2 months. That's exciting.
Indeed. So... this is a very standard procedure that all Amiibos go through, and is a good indication of when they're coming soon. And this is very, very promising to see, because I feel like for a while now, at least within of the last year, year and a half, we've been waiting a long gap between them showing an Amiibo and Nintendo directing it actually coming out. I think the Minecraft Steve and Alex ones are a perfect example of that. So the fact that this is actually being a little bit of a relatively quick turnaround is great to see, and the new Amiibos do look quite nice.
Yeah, they might actually get them released while the game is still relevant. Wow.
Incredible.
To be fair, I won't be going and buying them because, you know, I don't own a single Amiibo and I still don't get them. But I know a lot of people out there do, and I imagine they will sell quite well. Okay, let's talk about the next one, which I'm a little bit more interested in. A developer's LinkedIn profile has provided an insight into Detective Pikachu 2, or at least the stage it might be at, because their profile stated that they are using Unity/C++, or C-sharp even, worked on one unannounced project and one nearing release, Detective Pikachu 2. So, from that, we can deduce that Detective Pikachu 2 is nearing a release. Woohoo!
Yeah, there's just such a bizarre kind of delayed response to the Detective Pikachu saga, where Detective Pikachu 1 launched near about the time as Pokemon Go, and then it was like Pokemon Bonanza, and then everybody wanted in, so, you know, oh, then we got, Paramount or Universal, they bought the rights, and then like 4 years went by, and people kind of forgot, and kind of the Pokemon Bonanza calmed down. And then they released Detective Pikachu, and then it was like a new, like, oh my god, everything's
and
Pokemon.
It was amazing.
And at that point, they're like, let's greenlight Detective Pikachu 2. And now the hype of that movie's kind of died down, and now we're at another quiet point. Maybe the whole franchise pivots on Detective Pikachu now. Maybe that's the tea, but I'm very excited to see what they do here, because Detective Pikachu was kind of a late era 3DS game, and I guess it's coming out to be a late era Switch game now, but... there's a huge gap between those two platforms, and it will be going from being an exclusively handheld title to now this kind of cross handheld home console release now in the sequel. And there's just so much potential and so much room to grow. I just hope they have Danny DeVito voicing Detective Pikachu. But I can dream.
I mean, the first game, I'm not going to lie, I never played the first game. In fact, I was barely even aware of the first game. The first time I heard the phrase Detective Pikachu was actually in relation to the movie, which was brilliant. And I'm really fascinated to see what they do with the second game, to see whether they have any nod or reference to the movie. I suspect they won't. I suspect they'll just completely ignore the movie and carry on with game lore, because that makes an awful lot more sense. It's going to be fun. I'm also interested, that just because I'm a nerdy geek, that they're using C# as their development language for that. It seems like such an old language to be using. I just in my head think that everybody would be using the latest stuff. Clearly that's not the case. They use the tried and tested and safe ones, industry standards.
Yeah, it's interesting. I always think of C in relation to Windows, so it's just kind of bizarre to see it in this sort of context. It's also odd to use Unity. Unity's a little bit of a bloated kind of game engine. So for on the Nintendo Switch, you know, we've had tons of Unity games here, but, you know, this is a big Nintendo property, basically, but I'm sure it'll all work out. It's not the most action-packed thing in the world if the last game is to go by, so I'm not worrying about performance issues at all.
Nope, I don't think any of us are. Okay, let's double back to something we talked about at the beginning of the episode, and that is a Super Mario Brothers movie, or Super Mario Bros. Movie, if you want to be that guy. Chris Pratt, who controversially is voicing Mario, has seen the teaser trailer, and in his words, he was simply blown away. That sounds like marketing speak to me, because who is blown away by a teaser trailer? Really, Chris?
Yeah, you know, even a good teaser trailer, you're like, oh, I wanted more. this is just hyping up the... I believe it's like at one of the Comic Cons, they're showing off the trailer, and then we'll get it on YouTube. Yeah, there's nothing to make out here, but, you know, it's good to know the trailer's real and they haven't made it up, and I'm excited to see it when it launches soon.
I mean, I have a lot of love for Chris Pratt. I think he's brilliant. I think he's just comedy gold. Everything he does is just amazing. So I have such high hopes. But what he was saying, he was blown away by it. I did kind of want to go, come on, it's a teaser trailer. It's going to last all of 20 seconds. It's going to show us pretty much nothing. You can see a little bit of CGI animation. I don't think it's blowing anyone away. But hey, let's talk about Gamefly, because they have leaked that Avatar, The Last Airbender, Quest for Balance for the Nintendo Switch is going to be coming out on the 8th of November. Now, we've heard a little bit about this game, but we now have a release date, potentially.
Yeah, I love that the release date is getting leaked for a game that was leaked. you know, I'm hoping the team working on this is furiously editing together a trailer for it, because it would be nice for them to get ahead of the news cycle for this game, because there's so many people that absolutely adore the Avatar franchise, and yeah, you know, let's get it out before the new Ubisoft Avatar game comes out that's got blue people in it. Ooh, who wants blue people?
All right, our last rumor is, well, to me it's a really interesting, fascinating one, but you are going to have to cut through the technical jargon. I'm going to read what Anton has written as notes. I'm then going to ask Anton to explain what Anton has written as notes, because it is complicated but massively exciting. Okay, are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. An NVIDIA employee has confirmed the existence of the Tegra 239 chip, which has been rumoured since 2021 as being developed for the next generation Nintendo Switch. Oh, okay, that's not the complicated bit. So, the chip would feature a T239 system on a chip, 8-core CPU, likely to be an ARM Cortex A78C. I have no idea what that means. I hope this man can tell me shortly. Ampere-based GPU that may incorporate some Lovelace features. That sounds familiar, but you need to remember remind me who makes Lovelace and what it is. And graphics API containing references to DLSS 2.2 and ray tracing support. Now, you have talked about DLSS on this podcast before, but you'll need to explain that and why 2.2 is significant. Anton, speak.
All right, so there's a couple parts to make out in here. One, just the sheer existence of another Tegra chip is exciting, because that means there's new Nintendo Switch hardware. The Tegra line of system-on-a-chips were designed as a competitor to the Snapdragon line of chips, which are very, very common in smartphones and tablets. And, you know, NVIDIA was pushing them very hard at the moment, and then Nintendo put in the Nintendo Switch, and then NVIDIA stopped making them. And basically, the fact they're making another one means they're making a new one for the only product that still use Tegra chips, which is the Nintendo Switch. Now, breaking this all apart. So firstly, the main bit of information is it's going to be 8 cores, so that's going to be double as many as the Nintendo Switch, which means they can just do more tasks in parallel. You know, they can do more, you know, they can have grass simulation, they can have, you know, all these different things running in parallel and not clogging up the system. It's going to be Ampere based, which Ampere is the architecture that was used for not the most recent architecture of NVIDIA GPUs, which just got announced a couple days ago, but the 30 series of GPUs, which all of them from the 3050 to the 3090 Ti are just absolute beasts, the best of the business. And, you know, all of those 30 series GPUs would trounce a PS5 and Xbox series device, even though this will be greatly cut down, as like the original Tegra Kelv CPUs that were in the Nintendo Switch, they'll be at a very low clock speed, so running a bit slow. So it won't be on par with anything like that. However, it has been noticed that it'll be incorporating some Lovelace elements. That is the technology featured within of the 40 series GPUs, which have most recently came out. So this is where the little bit of inferring comes from. So if it is all based on the Ampere series, you will get DLSS 2.0 or 2.2, and you will get a form of ray tracing, which is incredibly exciting to have that in the next Nintendo Switch hardware. If it is borrowing more of the APIs from Lovelace, that would mean potentially DLS 3.0 and ray tracing, kind of, I believe, free or third generation ray tracing. I forget the exact market term. So those are two incredibly, incredibly exciting technologies. Starting with the simpler of the two, ray tracing has been the big deal for maybe the last 4 or 5 years in the PC hardware, and it's only recently trickled into games consoles with the PS5 and Xbox Series X. It won't have the biggest impact for handheld gaming, I don't think. Even on the Steam Deck, it has ray tracing capabilities, but is, to be honest, a little bit hindered by the overall performance, but has some light potential for, you know, doing maybe not the full lighting, but maybe kind of giving a guidance to the engine of how they should handle shadows, and then they can use kind of rasterized methods to carry on forward. So basically, the potential of ray tracing is better lighting and better shadows, miles better, and it'll be far more accessible than developers having to do it all by scratch and kind of, you know, doing a kind of illustration or a pretending version of what lighting is. You know, it'll be able to just do it with the hardware that's built into the console. DLS is, again, another very exciting kind of hardware, and especially for low-power machines, which the Switch will be, or power-constrained situations. DLS basically takes games and then upscales them to higher resolutions. So unlike just purely upscaling it, where, you know, you're maybe taking one pixel and turning it into 4 pixels, that means some edges are blurry, some of them are too sharp. It's kind of a catch-all solution. Unlike those, DLS is smart, so it knows which elements it needs to be scaled up and which kind of does it at an engine level rather than kind of taking the final output and just multiplying the pixels. So on the PC side of this, you know, I saw illustrations recently of Cyberpunk and the most recent ray tracing update that has. You know, you can have games that would have been running at like 20 frames per second and then get them up to like a nice smooth 120. That's how powerful DLSS is, which obviously we're not going to be running games at 120 on Nintendo Switch, but that means for future Nintendo Switch games, we could have games that are programmed in a way that, you know, they would have been, you know, so graphically lush and advanced and technically detailed that to get it running on Nintendo Switch, you would have to cut it down to, you know, 340f or 440p or something ridiculously low like that. But through the power of this new DLS, it'll bring it up to the 720 1080p that we expect. So basically means that they have to spend half of their graphical budget less on the kind of fidelity and worlds and everything else, and they can spend that, or sorry, they have to spend half as much of their kind of graphical budget on resolution, and they can allocate that back into other aspects of the graphics and then, you know, basically upscale it afterwards. It's all remarkable technology here, and it's nice that, to hear that we're not just getting a more souped up version of some old technology. We're getting some brand new technology in whatever the next Nintendo Switch hardware turns out to be, Al.
Which is very, very cool. I mean, we've all been talking about rumors for the next Nintendo Switch, or as I'm determined to call it, the Super Switch, because it's got to be called that, for so long. And we practically thought we knew the specs of it the last time round, when we were all adamant it was going to be released at some point last year, I think it was. Might have been earlier this year. Time has become nebulous. But this is more concrete proof that there is work going on, that this thing does exist somewhere there. It's just a question of when we're going to get it. And I'm giddy. Giddy, because these specs are really, really cool. It means that our next bit of hardware is going to be awesome and will help us play in the leagues of the current big boys.
Absolutely.
No longer will we be the underpowered little David to the Goliath of the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and even S, to be fair, because let's face it, the Switch is getting a bit long in the tooth now. It'll be nice to be able to compete with them and have games that are comparable, shall we say, visually comparable. Might not be the same horsepower, but that's fine. We don't expect that, but they can be in the same league and can hold their heads up high and play awesomeness.
Yeah, what is incredibly exciting about this is when we were really looking towards a Switch Pro back 2020, 2021, the kind of rumor mill was basically suggesting the existing Tegra X1 plus a little bit of DLS to get it up to higher resolutions. But if I had to look at these specs here, I would say this is closer to like a Xbox Series S in quality, which when that console's targeting like 1080p to 1440p, you know, if they scaled that down and then targeted 720 to 1080p, I feel like they could shoot even above the kind of fidelity that that console is able to accomplish. And, you know, that's incredibly exciting to see.
Oh, so, so exciting. I mean, I'm not going to get too excited just yet, because I suspect we probably still have decent enough weight on our hands, despite the fact I would really quite like to get it. And I have been holding off getting my Nintendo OLED because I'm always sure that this next console is just around the corner and it's never materializing and it's driving me crazy. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. We'll see. And that's it. We have done all of the news and all of the rumors for the week. And that's us now running things to talk about. So, Anton, do you want to talk about how people can reach us instead?
Indeed. If you're interested in consuming more content, oh my God, yeah, you've already listened to us for 51 minutes. There's tons of other places you could do that. Main place to go would be the website nsukp.co.uk. That outlines everything about us. It lets you know all about our Patreon and all the different rewards tiers we do there. Also links us to some of our social media. That is Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. That is NSUK Podcast. And if you're interested, we do have a couple of new videos out on the YouTube. We have a review of a game called Voyage and a review of a game called Pokemon Legends Arceus. And there's a couple of our stuff in the kind of brewing mixing pot at the moment. So keep an eye on that space. And finally, if you have any feedback, want to chat, want to blather, want to share what you're up to, give us your feedback. You can contact the lovely Alistair at podcast@nsukp.co.uk. And am I correct in saying that one of the best places to go and help us, Alistair, is on Apple iTunes and the reviews?
It is indeed. We got a flurry of reviews for a while. It was wonderful. It helped bump us up a whole load of charts. We were up in sort of the really fairly high numbers in several awesome markets around the world, not just in the UK, but yeah, it's always fun when we get reviews. So please do jump onto Apple Podcasts and leave us a review there. We greatly appreciate it, particularly when they're glowing and they make us laugh or make us feel the warm fuzzies. So yeah, go and do that if you've not already done it. And if you have, thank you yet again. It means the world to us. On that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up and for me to say cheerio.
Au revoir.